It's good to be here, isn't it? To worship God and to bring him our praise. Let's pray. Father, as we turn to your word and as we consider your goodness, we pray that each one of us might be encouraged and lifted up to live lives worthy of our calling and to worship you with joy and rejoicing. Lord, speak to us from your word, we pray, as we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Two short readings this morning, both from the Psalms. First of all, from Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise is what it says in my Bible. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs, which is what we've been doing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 34, our second reading. We're going to read the first eight verses. Psalm written by David, and he'd had some tough times. And this psalm reflects some of the issues that he encountered in those tough times, as we'll explore in a few moments. David writes, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man, this is David writing, king. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Just a few words, really, on this topic of God is good. And I was expecting the response there. It didn't happen. That's fine. We've done it once already. If we did it every time I'm about to say God is good, we'd be here till about tea time. So it's probably fine that we don't. But God is good.
All the time.
Isn't he? And we're just going to tease out a little bit of what that perhaps means for us in our normal day-to-day hurly-burly lives. This phrase, God is good, and the response that we make all the time is an absolute fundamental basic building block, the foundation of our faith, asserting that goodness is not just an action of God. You know, I can do good things for you. We as a fellowship did good things for Christians Against Poverty when we put our hands in our pockets and we've given them gifts this Christmas. But that doesn't make me or you inherently good. It just means we do good things. And when we say God is good, we don't just mean that God does good things, although of course he does, and we've all experienced that. What we're talking about here is that the fundamental nature of God, his very core, is good. It cannot be anything else. And we look at human beings today and we see people who claim to be good and claim to be doing good things, and yet in their hearts we can't prove that deep down, right down inside, they are inherently, unmistakably, unchallengeably good in their very core. But God is good. There is no evil. He is absolutely holy. He is absolutely righteous. Every act that he does is just and good. And here in Psalm 100, we have these amazing words: shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Do you know, at the end of a year, and as we look forward to the next year, those words are incredibly reassuring. Know that the Lord is God, John. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Do you want to be anywhere else? You and I are part of God's family. He is our Heavenly Father. He made us, and he made us new when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his creation from the beginning of the world, from Genesis, but we are also a new creation because he loves us so much and sent the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. We are his. We belong to him. We are his possession. Does that reassure you? Does it reassure me? It should do. I belong to God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise God. I belong to him. And as we have the joys and sometimes the sadnesses of day-to-day life, and we'll touch on that as we look at the next psalm, let's remember this great fact that we are his and we are the sheep of his pasture. And the psalmist says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Look how many times praise gets a mention there. Thanksgiving, praise, praise, give thanks. As you and I come into church this morning, do we come with hearts that are thankful? Do we come with hearts that are full of praise? Because we should. That's the injunction here. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. He is good. We are his. How much does he deserve our praise and our worship? All of it is what he deserves. And then the psalmist says this, for the Lord is good, for God is good. And then he qualifies it. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There's a promise for us today, and there's a promise for the future, for 2026 as well. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. There is no shakiness here. There is no, well, he loves me one day and not another day. There's no transactional relationship here that you do something for me. I nearly said something else then. You do something for me and I'll do something for you. Absolutely not. The psalmist is saying God is good to his core. It is his very nature. He cannot be anything else but good. His love endures forever. It never ends. Whatever we do, he loves us. His faithfulness, he is there with us every moment, every day, continues through all generations. When we come to Mac, in our devotions at home, in the way that we live our lives, we should be shouting for joy. We should be worshiping with gladness. We should be singing joyful songs because God is good and his love for you and me will never end. Let's just briefly consider David's situation in Psalm 34. If you want the background to Psalm 34, you have to read 1 Samuel 18 and 1 Samuel 21, which I'm not happily going to do now. But effectively, David in Psalm 1 Samuel 18 has defeated the Philistines. And it says that the women came out in the villages as David and the soldiers went back to home, and they sang this amazing song. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul, who is king, is thinking, oh, hang on a second. Where's the loyalty issue here? And Saul's relationship with David, as a consequence, changed at that time. 1 Samuel 18. Notice, God is not given glory in 1 Samuel 18. David, sort of, thank you, people, for recognizing my skill and my talent. In 1 Samuel 21, the tide has turned, and David is now on the run. And he's had to flee because he's in trouble and his life is under threat. And David escapes and he comes to the priest, and then he goes on to somewhere else and he comes to another king. And effectively, he's in serious, serious, serious trouble. And in front of King Achish, he has to basically pretend that he's mad. The servants of the king have said, hey, we've got David, this great soldier from Israel. And David feigns madness so that he doesn't get killed or imprisoned. And later, he writes Psalm 34. Remember I mentioned that he said that in 1 Samuel 18, David gets the praise, God doesn't. Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. We have good days, don't we? In those good days, do we remember how good God is to us, to me, and to you? And we have bad days too. I was reflecting on 2025 the other day, i.e. this morning. These words are what we're going to end our service on. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. David had been in serious trouble in 1 Samuel 21. He knew he was in trouble. And reflecting on that experience, he recognizes God's goodness. We have good days and we have bad days. A few years ago, I took my team, because we'd had a good year. We didn't always have a good year. We had a good year that year. And I said, come on, we'll go to London for the day. This was our Christmas treat. And we went to a very nice restaurant in London and we had dinner together. And one of my team said, oh, John, when we're in London, can we go to Fortnum and Mason? Now, I'd never been to Fortnum and Mason before. This was a bit of a new experience. So I said, yeah, we'll go to Fortnum and Mason. I said, why do you want to go to Fortnum and Mason, Emma? She said, I want to buy biscuits. I thought, well, you could buy biscuits anywhere. But apparently, Fortnum and Mason biscuits are very special biscuits. I said, as long as you buy enough for us to have some on the train going home. That was the deal. Anyway, we rock up eventually at Fortnum and Mason on our way to the restaurant. And we go in. And of course, you see food set out like that. And it's a very expensive shop, and it's a very nice shop, and I kept my hands firmly in my pockets while my colleague bought her biscuits. Now, the point with God here, and the point with David here, in Psalm 34, is that when David says, taste and see that the Lord is good, there is a real emphasis on a sort of command taste. You need to reach out, says David. You have to do something, says David, to see that the Lord is good. And in Fortnum and Mason, I did not taste because I didn't pay. I tasted later because someone else did. But the point is this. When David says, taste and see that the Lord is good, he's saying to you and to me, look, don't take it for granted. Don't just sort of accept it as a fact. You have to do something to taste and see that the Lord is good. And as I mentioned a moment or two ago, when life is going brilliantly, when everything is hunky-dory, we might not be so inclined to reach out and taste because we might feel we don't need to. Now, I look back on 2025, and there's a high point and there's a low point. Well, probably more than one, but anyway, you'll get the sense in a moment. In good days and not such good days, David says to you and me, taste and see that the Lord is good. That was a terrible day. For a man of my age who supported this wretched team for 40-odd years, it's a bad day. Relegated. What do you think might be a good day last year? That was a wonderful day. You can see one Al McGee. He was part of a wonderful day. And you can see James and Grace. Not such a good day. Truly wonderful day. David says, taste. Reach out. Experience God in your life. On wonderful days, and it's a flippant one, I know, but not such wonderful days. So as we look forward to next year, will there be wonderful days? I hope there are for all of us. Will there be some not such good days, some not so wonderful days? I expect there will be. And the injunction remains, God is good all the time. Taste and see. How do we taste and see that God is good all the time? Because we can't go to a shop and buy biscuits by God. Can't go into Fortnum and Mason and say, oh, I'd like a bit of God's goodness, please. We read his word. We pray. We spend time with Christians, home groups, fellowship. We serve the Lord together. And in those things, in prayer, in reading his word, in worshipping him together, in serving him together, we will be tasting that God is good. So that in those great moments, we can bring him our praise and our worship and say, Amen, Lord, you are good. And on some of those days, few we hope, when things are tough. Prayer, reading, fellowship, service, all kick in and remind us just how good God is. So as we come to the end of 1 year and we look back and rejoice at God's goodness to us, and as we look forward to another year and we pray for his enduring presence with us, and as we come before him with thanksgiving, let's remember that God is good. More than that, let's taste, let's grab hold, let's get him inside us, his goodness, and let's absolutely recognize his unbelievable presence in our lives.